Good evening and welcome to this evening's NAESP Webinar Wednesday, Transforming Your Leadership and Those You Lead. At this time, I would like to introduce NAESP's Associate Executive Director of Professional Learning, Dr. Gracie Branch.
Thank you, Danielle. Good evening, everyone. We're so glad that you joined us, and I'm very pleased to introduce to you Dr. Ron Riggio. He's the Professor of Leadership and Organizational Psychology at Kravis Leadership Institute at Claremont McKenna College. You can follow Dr. Riggio on LinkedIn and Twitter. His handle is at Ron Riggio. We always like to ask our speakers to share one interesting fact. And I have to say, Dr. Riggio, I think that you have shared the most interesting fact that I've read so far. And that is that his one of the first of many jobs for him was making Mickey Mouse's shoes for Disneyland. So you might need to tell us a little bit more about that. But I'm going to turn the program over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Gracie. And thank you for having me. I know the important work that you all do. And so I'm very happy to talk with you about leadership. And just quickly, the Mickey Mouse shoes. My grandfather was a shoemaker and lived across the street from one of the top Disney people. He moved to Anaheim, California around 1960. And they needed a shoemaker to make the character shoes for Disneyland. And he did that for many years. He did that into his 80s. And so my summer job was to go and help him what little I knew about shoemaking. So that was my first job. So I want to talk to you about leadership, obviously, and a particular leadership theory. But let me start off and just kind of set the stage a little bit and talk a little bit about the myths and truths of leadership. And so the first thing, this is a question that often comes up all the time about leadership, is are leaders born or made? And so you might have an opinion on this, and some of you might be saying, well, the answer is both, and you would be right. And then the question I would ask, if you said both, I would ask you, well, what are the percentages? How much is born and how much is made? And we know the answer to that. So psychologists, our litmus test for inborn characteristics and developed characteristics is studies of identical twins. I won't go into all the methodology, but the best estimate is it's about two-thirds made and about one-third born. So it is both, but the weight is on the made side. And what's important about that and why I mentioned that is because this is a leadership development seminar webinar, and my job is leader development. And if it was all born, I would be out of work. So that's good news. It means anybody can develop their leadership capacity. Second question is kind of a true-false question. Leadership and management are fundamentally different. And so you might think about this, and there's a famous saying, and I'm going to say it's false, and I'm going to explain why. Of course, that's not a black and white kind of response, but there's a famous saying, managers do things right and leaders do the right things. And so there's this idea that managers sort of do the mundane administrative work and leaders do the big picture kind of things. And this is the way I look at it, is if you're going to be effective, and I think being an elementary school principal, you have managerial duties and you have leadership duties. And so managers have supervisory responsibilities, but they also need leadership. And effective leaders better be in touch with the management side too. So I think effective leadership is about both managing and leading. And I'll mention I'm in Claremont, California, which is the home of Peter Drucker, who left us more than a decade ago, but the father of modern management. And when he thought about managers, he thought about them more in a leadership sense. And that's sometimes attributed to him, but I know he didn't actually say that. I'm not sure who coined that phrase. Third question. Leaders lead and followers follow. is this true or false? And again, I'm going to argue that it's false because both leaders and followers co-construct, they create leadership, right? There's no leadership without followers. And that's where we're going to go. We're going to be talking about the important role of followers and followership and developing your followers. But the best leaders, we know this from research, are also the best followers. And exemplary followers help create the leadership. They share in that co-production of leadership. All right, let's move to transformational leadership theory. And James McGregor Burns, and this quote is from him, and these were some of the famous leaders that he studied. And he came up with this idea of what he called transforming leadership, and that later became transformational leadership. And basically, this quote from him says, it occurs when one or more persons engage with others in such a way that leaders and followers together raise one another. So there's this connection. They raise one another to higher levels of motivation and higher levels of morality. And what was Burns's point here? Well, he was contrasting this with transactional leadership. Now, we all know what transactional leadership is. It's based on social exchange. It's this, you know, do this for me and I'll give you X. Work for me and I will pay you. I will give you other kinds of compensation. And there's nothing wrong with transactional leadership. Most of us wouldn't work if we didn't get paid, right? And it's effective. It's reasonably effective, but it's limited. All right. And the relationship is very transactional. And transformational leadership is going to go beyond that. Now, the work of Burns, who was a political historian, was picked up by a psychologist, Bernard Bass. And I worked with Bernie Bass. And he took this kind of concept and broke it down into its elements based on Burns's work and did a lot of research on this. And that's what I'm going to be presenting. I'm going to be presenting what do we know about transformational leadership and how it affects followers and how it leads to extraordinary outcomes. So what is it? What is transformational leadership? Well, these are leaders who are charismatic and visionary, and they transform organizations, and they do it through empowering followers. Now, I'm going to argue that you want to try to develop your transformational leadership, and you might say, well, I'm not, you know, particularly charismatic. I'm no Martin Luther King Jr., or I'm no Oprah Winfrey, who actually tops the list of charismatic women in the public eye. And I want to argue that charisma is a continuum. So charisma, we all have some element, some amount of charisma. And so it is a component in transformational leadership, but we'll break it down into what exactly that means. But it's done. Transformational leadership operates through empowering followers. The second thing, and I sometimes say there's two transformations in transformational leadership. So one transformation that occurs is because you're empowering followers as a transformational leader, you're also developing their capacity to lead. You're engaging them, right? You're delegating responsibility to them, and you're developing your followers. And this is important for succession, right? We all have to think about succession. Who's going to fill our position? Who's going to move up to higher level leadership positions? And we know that individuals who work under transformational leaders develop their leadership capacity. So that's one transformation. And the second transformation is about performance. So transformational leaders challenge teams, they challenge their teams, they motivate them to perform at levels beyond expectations. So when Bernie Bass wrote his book on transformational leadership and the research he was doing, it was called Leadership and Performance Beyond Expectations. Because what happened with teams and organizations that were headed by transformational leaders, they performed at levels that were actually beyond what one might expect. So two kinds of transformation, developing the followers and developing the team to high levels of performance. So here are the components of transformational leadership. And I simplified them. And so I'm going to talk about them. So the first one is inspire. Second is be a positive role model. And I'll explain all these in a lot of detail. Third is connect and communicate. And four is challenge. And let me just mention, I've got a number of slides here and it's going to go quickly, but these will be made available to you. So don't worry about this if you don't catch something. Now, Bernie Bass, my good friend and colleague, who's unfortunately no longer with us, being a good psychologist, he created a lot of jargon. And so I just simplified them a little bit, but these were the components, as Bernie called them, of transformational leadership. The first is inspirational motivation, and that's the ability to motivate and inspire followers. But how do you do that? Through providing meaning and through challenge. Okay. So inspirational motivation, that's the inspire. Idealized influence. This is serving as a positive role model for followers. And I use this term walking the talk, right? So a transformational leader not only looks like a positive role model, looks like someone you want to follow and someone you'd like to emulate and learn from, but they're also the kind of leader who gets down there and rolls up their sleeves and gets involved with the followers, right? Doesn't, this is not the kind of leader who says, you know, go do it and then goes and locks themselves in their office, right? All right. So idealized influence, the serving as a positive role model. Third is individualized consideration, connect and communicate. And this is developing the relationship with each follower, developing that special relationship. And this is where mentoring those people that report to you, those teachers that report to you, this and staff members, this is where you're mentoring them, you're coaching them, and you're developing them through empowering them, through giving them increasing levels of responsibility. But to be able to delegate and to be able to empower people effectively, you've got to know what their capacity is. You need to know their strengths. You need to know their limitations. You don't want to overload them, because that's critically important, and we're going to see that later on. All right, so the individualized consideration is that connection, getting to know the people that you're leading. The fourth component is called intellectual stimulation, and this is the challenge component, and this is stimulating followers to innovate, to be creative. And how do you do this? Well, you try to get them to question assumptions. You ask questions. You get them, or you reframe problems. Try to get them to come up and with new solutions. Okay, so we'll go into more depth on all of these. But these are the components of transformational leadership. Inspirational motivation. So how do you inspire? Now, this is not just the kind of rah-rah cheerleading motivation and inspiration. You do this through providing meaning and challenge, right? And so you try to commit people to the mission or to the purpose or to a special initiative that you have going. You also motivate people and inspire people through high levels of energy and high levels of commitment. Now, this is one of the elements of charisma. One of the ways I think about transformational leadership, I call it charisma plus. So this is one aspect of the leader's charisma, that positive energy, that ability to be visionary, to challenge people, to get them committed. And that positive attitude, right? That positive emotion that we associate with charisma. The second component of charisma is that idealized influence, because this is where the leader has presence, right? We talk about, you know, the leader looking like that positive role model that we want to follow, that image, portraying that image of leader. And we all know about this when we've been in leadership positions. You know, people are watching us. They're looking to us. Now, another element that's in the idealized influence is the idea that the leader is an ethical role model. So where does doing the right thing reside in transformational leadership? It's in the idealized influence. So not just being someone that you, that people want to follow, but a person that people want to follow for the right reasons, because this is the leader who's going to do the right thing. Finally, idealized influence is about embodying the mission, embodying the purpose. So the leader really, you know, stands out as kind of the embodiment of what we're all about. So this is in a school, this is the principal who says, you know, we stand for this, and you see it in the way that person behaves and the way they act. That connection, that individualized consideration. So this is paying special attention to followers' personal needs and concerns. It's developing that strong leader-follower relationship and mentoring and coaching them. This is how the development occurs, how you transform those people that you're leading, right? So you have to engage in successful and strategic delegation. And delegating responsibility to people doesn't mean getting things off your desk and dumping it on theirs. It involves checking in, right? Making sure that they can handle it. They still may need leadership, but they can take the lead on this, right? And so you need to know how much people can take on. You need to know the limitations. And finally, intellectual stimulation. And this is where you get the performance beyond expectations, because it's through stimulating followers to think outside the box, to think about new initiatives, to question the status quo, right? To say, maybe we could do this differently. Maybe we could do it better. And doing that collaboratively, right? It's really important. All right. So what do we know about transformational leadership, and what do we know based on research on transformational leadership? Well, one thing we know for sure is that followers of transformational leaders are very, very satisfied with their leaders. Okay. Now, you know, there's a lot of things that, there's a lot of reasons why people can be satisfied with the people that they lead. They can reward them handsomely, which would be much more transactional leadership. But the reason they're satisfied is because together they know they're getting things done, right? We also know from research that transformational leaders will lead more effective work teams, right? That they do get that performance beyond expectation. And here's an interesting thing, and this is something that we would have never predicted, but we found this in many, many studies. Transformational leadership is the most studied theory of leadership. And there's lots of theories of leadership, theories that represent exemplary leadership. But this was something that we didn't expect, because think about this now. Transformational leaders are pushing you, saying, you know, think outside the box, do a little bit more. We have very high standards here. And you think, well, maybe that would stress out the people you're leading. Maybe that would eventually burn them out over time. And what we're finding is the exact opposites, right? That there's a negative relationship between stress and burnout and being led by a transformational leader. So what's happening is, because the followers are empowered by the leader, because they're participating in the leadership, they're not stressed. They're not stressed because they don't know what's going on, because their leader's keeping them informed. And they're not burning out through this process, that there's a sort of a mutual energizing, and it's all very much positive energy and not the negative energy, right? So, you know, that was the cherry on the top of our sundae. We were hoping that followers would be satisfied of transformational leaders, that they'd be more effective, but we were really happy to find out that stress buffering effect. Now, how does this thing work? Well, we've researched that too, right? So this is how it works. Transformational leaders seem to enhance the follower's sense of self-efficacy. Remember that you can do it kind of approach. And with that, their self-esteem. So self-efficacy is that belief that you can actually do the job, right? That you can do what your leader wants you to do. And that raises your self-esteem. Now, probably all of you know about something called the Pygmalion effect. So actually one of my mentors, my direct mentors, was Robert Rosenthal, who's known for his work on the Pygmalion effect, Pygmalion in the classroom. And transformational leadership subsumes that Pygmalion leadership, that holding positive expectations about your followers and communicating them that to them. That's part of the inspirational motivation. Okay. So what does that do? That raises the follower's sense of self-efficacy, that can-do attitude. And we know that transformational leaders are empowering their followers. They're delegating. The other thing that they're doing is they're increasing the follower's identification with the organization, with the mission, with the purpose. And there's this alignment so that followers and leaders see that their goals and their values are aligned. They're on the same page with things, right? So this is very, very critically important, right? If you want to inspire people, you've got to show them that this is not just in the interests of the organization. This is not just in the best interests of the leader, but everybody is going to benefit from this, right? So one of the things that I often talk when I talk to like executives or, you know, CEOs and people at the executive level is, you know what, make sure that you're constantly expressing the goals, expressing the mission, expressing your vision, what you value, what the organization values. Make sure you're constantly communicating that and make it relevant to the followers. How does it align with what they believe, right? So if you think about people who work for a nonprofit organization, they probably wouldn't be working for the nonprofit if they didn't believe in the mission and the values associated with the organization. And so that should be the same thing for every organization. All right. So let's talk a little bit about developing transformational leadership. And this is both our own transformational leadership, but also developing our followers. And the first thing is you've got to have the motivation to develop, all right? So you can send people off to a leadership development program or any kind of program, but if they're not motivated to develop, then nothing's going to really happen, right? So the first thing is you got to commit to it, all right? And the second thing is leadership is not easy, and developing leadership is not easy. It takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of dedication. My colleague, David Day, who's actually over on the other side of the wall here where I sit, is very big in leader development. And he uses a great analogy. He says all too often, leadership development programs involve a weekend or a workshop or maybe the ropes course where you go up and climb in the trees or maybe it's a kind of a river rafting trip or whatever. And he says, you know what, from a development perspective, that's analogous to a ticket to an amusement park, to Disneyland. And so you're enjoying it. You're going, well, this is great. But if you don't get something out of it, then it just dissipates. He says a better model for leader development is a gym membership. So somebody, we just had the holidays, so somebody gives you a gym membership as a Christmas present, and your New Year's resolution is to use that gym membership. Guess what? What happens with a lot of gym memberships? They never get used. So you need to work at it on a regular basis, and that's critical for leader development. Another thing is you can't develop without feedback. I'm preaching to the choir. You all know about how we educate and how we develop, but you need to get some feedback. So one of the things we suggest is if you're really serious about leader development is do it with your leader, whoever you look toward, or get a peer, right? Get a peer mentor to help you with feedback. And we use a lot of assessments, and I'm actually going to give you an assessment of transformational leadership. So you'll have that after the webinar, where you can do a little self-assessment, and it's broken down into those four components. And then finally, you know, get a coach, a mentor if you can. I know a lot of programs, there are these mentors and these coaches available. We're doing this with our own students. We give them certified executive coaches to 18, 19, 20 year old students because we know that it works. And we know that these are the leaders of tomorrow. I'm at an undergraduate institution. And then also, obviously, some training programs and some developmental programs. All right, reminding you of those components of transformational leadership, inspiration, be a positive role model, connect and communicate, and challenge. And I'm going to give you some suggestions on how you can develop each of these components. So how do you inspire others effectively? And I'm gone really quickly through this, and I'm realizing this, but I do want to spend lots of time for questions and comments and discussion, but I'm going to try to bring this kind of right home to you. So create a compelling vision, right? So whatever that might be. So I, you know, we can be a top performing school. I knew one principal who said, you know, we're going to have a bully free environment. That's that because, you know, things had gotten a little out of control, and that became a vision, a bully free environment. And the idea is you want to constantly be reminding people that this is our mission. This is where we're headed. Okay. You always want to be positive and upbeat in your messages, that Pygmalion effect, but you've got to really believe that. You've got to believe that the people can do it. And if you've developed that good relationship with them, you actually know what they're capable of doing. And so the problem with the Pygmalion effect is that we can do it is if you say we can do it and you don't believe they can do it, you're going to have a problem because they're going to know that you don't believe in them. And so I was actually asked by a researcher in Israel who does a lot of work with Pygmalion leadership. And he says, why sometimes does this fail? They say, you know, I know you can do it. And I said, probably because their body language, their nonverbals are saying, I know you can't do it. And so their words are being discounted because what's leaking out is this, the message, the unspoken message that they can't do it. So you want to get behind this. And by knowing each of your followers' capabilities, then you can craft a message that, yes, you can do it. And I know you can do it. So again, focus on the mission and purpose. Why are we doing this? Constantly let people know why we're doing what we're doing, what the purpose is, what the outcome is. And what can we create together, right? That idea of working together on this. How do you be a positive role model? This one's tough, right? The first thing, have the courage to do the right thing. I mean, leaders need to be courageous. They need to stand up for things that they believe in. They need to have the courage to make the tough decisions. They need to have the courage to sometimes, you know, do the things that are hurtful to people in from a personal perspective, right? You have to, you know, give feedback, right? The courage to take calculated risks, right? So one of the ways that transformational leaders demonstrate that kind of charisma is that they're willing to try things. They're willing to go beyond the status quo and bring people along with them, right? A second thing that's very important is considering different perspectives, involving people in the decision-making process, right? Because what that's going to do is it's going to engage them. And it's going to be inspirational too, to a certain extent. And you're going to benefit from the different perspectives. It doesn't mean that you have to do what other people say, but take in that information. One of the things that we know, and this is a topic that's being studied, and you may be hearing about it if you do any reading on leadership, is they talk about wisdom, the importance of wisdom. well, where does wisdom come from? And if you actually look back and you look at Greek philosophy, if you go back to Aristotle, you know, where wisdom comes from considering other people's perspectives, from not just relying on your own beliefs and your own perspective, but taking in and considering differing opinions. Being a positive role model, another element is staying in control, in particular, controlling your emotions, right? When we see a lot of leaders, so we're an interesting society. The United States is an interesting society. We claim that we're not about kings, right? That's what we created our democracy, but we really do put our leaders up on a pedestal. And if you don't believe that we put our leaders up on a pedestal, drive around the National Mall in Washington, D.C., and you will see big monuments, Washington Monument, Lincoln Memorial, to our leaders, all right? So we put our leaders up on pedestals, and we have this tendency to do that. But we're also happy to watch them fail. We're a strange society. And one of the ways they often fail is through the inability to control their emotions, throwing a tantrum, right? Doing something unethical, right? And a lot of times their passions are what lead them astray. So being a positive role model is about that. And then fairness, right? Another aspect of being a positive role model is treating others fairly and giving credit when it's due. Right. Recognizing your followers' contributions and doing that. Right. And not taking credit for other. I mean, that's the recipe for disaster. You know, if you look at this, if you look at these four ways of being a positive role model, these correspond with cardinal virtues. Right. Courage. Right. Fortitude. Different perspectives. That's wisdom or prudence. Controlling your emotions, right? And treating others fairly, that's justice. So this is not just about being a positive role model. This is about being a good person, right? One of the things, I'm at an undergraduate college. I mean, we're doing as much parenting here with 18 to 21 year olds as we are education. And part of it is teaching them to be good people and leaders of tomorrow. And how do you connect? How do you do that individualized consideration? Well, it's not easy, right? It's not easy to work on relationship, but work on active listening. Learn to focus on what others are saying. Learn to, you know, give feedback. Learn to elicit that good feedback from the people that are reporting to you. One of the simplest things, check in regularly with team members, right? You know, there's an old saying, you know, management by walking around. You know, if you spend too much time in your office, that means you're not doing enough to check in with team members, right? Realize the value in developing each individual team member. Realize the value that you get from creating more leadership capacity in the team, in the people that you're leading. So I was once invited to the retirement and the stepping down and the succession of a very famous Fortune 100 CEO who had kind of worked his way up in the organization. And of course, as you know, he gave his sort of stepping down speech and he introduced the people who were taking his place. There were plenty of tears and the people who were going to step into the executive level positions in the organization as he retired were saying, we're never going to be able to do it. You know, you were such a charismatic force, such a great leader. We will never be able to step into your shoes. And he took me aside and he said, they'll do so much better than I did in this position. And why do I know they'll do better? Because I developed them. I helped to develop them. I took steps to ensure that they had the capacity to lead after I was gone. And they'll do great things and, you know, exceed my accomplishments. So talk about humility. I think that shows that humility in a high-level leadership position. and develop these high quality professional relationships with each member. What you want to do is get to know the strengths, get to know the limitations, and through that develop that relationship, and that'll allow you to delegate effectively, because you'll know where the individual's limits are and you'll know what their strengths are. You know how much they can handle. And then finally, that intellectual stimulation, that challenge to get the extraordinary performance. You want to set challenging goals and you want to measure that goal attainment, right? What are we trying to get to? You want to continually ask for others' input and contributions. Again, you don't have to listen to what other people, you're not having them make the decisions for you. What you're having them do is contribute to the decision-making process. All right. Asking the challenging questions, trying to reframe things, questioning the status quo. Is this the best way? Can we do things differently? Okay. I'm looking in the chat at some of the, what do you do when classroom teachers don't want to take any leadership roles, right? I think the issue there is you've got to make the role, you've got to link the role, to kind of what's in it for them, right? That, and probably it's having a discussion about, I want to develop your leadership capacity. I need you to help me with this. You know, it's the sharing of the leadership. So I think if you're upfront and you let your team members know that you want them to share in things, and what that means is sometimes stepping up. And maybe not everyone's going to do that, but I think what's going to happen is there's going to be peer pressure over time as people step up into those leadership roles. I think other people will do it. And, you know, when you don't have someone, we all have, you know, people who are subpar performers, right? And we've got to deal with those situations. And that's where leader courage comes in. You know, how are you going to deal with this? And we got to be realistic about that. But you've got to try to develop. You've got to try to do this. All right. So I left plenty of time for discussion. I may have gone too quickly. So the question, how do you work with a few negative people? And then this idea of it becoming a domino effect. Okay. So I think the issue there is you've got to deal with things head on, right? You've got to deal with those issues head on, and you've got to have the courage to go have those hard conversations and say, you know, and that might be part of what your mission and your leadership is about, right? Is saying, look, we're not going to be talking behind one another's back. And the leader's got to be a positive role model, right? So we're going to get things out in the open. We're going to have sessions where we're going to talk about this, or we're going to do it, you know, on a sort of a one-on-one basis, if that's the way to start it. But you got to have those hard conversations with people. Okay. What?
Dr. Riccio, there was a question earlier in the chat. If you had any recommendations for resources or webinars on this topic on school leadership.
Yeah. So Gracie, obviously I'm not, you know, I work primarily in the sort of the business world, then I'm in higher education. So, I've only occasionally worked in, with elementary school, high schools and community college. And this is the first time actually I've spoken to a group of principals. But I reframed everything around that. And I think the reframing makes a lot of sense. So personally, I don't have a lot of those kind of resources. I do. And again, I'm not here to sell books or whatever, but one of the things that I developed for my students, and I think you may have access to this, is this book called Daily Leadership Development. And I'm kind of making this accessible. And the idea is that it has in here sort of day to day three. It's called the subtitle's 365 steps to developing your leadership. Now it's not the only leader development guide. But I think what you have to do is you have to have a plan. And why I wrote this book and why I compiled this over the years was to give my students something as they graduate. So we're gifting each of our graduating seniors with this book with the idea of, look, we've been working on this stuff. You know some of these leadership concepts, but how can you work with them once you're gone, once you've left us? And the vision I have for this is something you put on the nightstand. You can read it the first thing in the morning. Each day has a brief reading. It should take you 1 or 2 minutes and a tip for development. And the idea is my colleague's gym membership analogy, right? If you're going to work out, you're going to get up, you're going to do your exercises. Okay. If you're going to develop as a leader, you're going to get up and you're going to do something to try to develop your leadership. So whether it's that, there are actually some apps that you can get, some leader development apps. I've talked to a couple of people who have provided those. There's one called Leader Amp. That's maybe more for business leaders. But so I think if principals are serious about this, and I would encourage you to take it seriously, to think about how can you work on this every day, not kill yourself, but do it on a day-to-day basis or a week-to-week basis.
So we've had two more questions.
Yeah.
I think you see one in the box and then one in the chat is about, well, teachers are tired. I'm sure principals are too with this remote learning model. So any ideas to motivate them?
Yeah, so I think both of those questions are kind of connected, right? So what can you do when teachers say, well, you know, I'm in my comfort zone. I don't want to do anything extra, right? You know, I'm working, you know, working to rule, you know, to what the minimum. I mean, I think that's a challenge. And what you've got to do is find some way of inspiring, find some way of getting them to connect, something that they can step into, that they're interested in, that can show some initiative and realize this is going to take some time and it's going to happen in a step-by-step manner. They're not going to all of a sudden, you know, jump up and do, but you're going to have to do it bit by bit, right? And in, behavioral psychology, I'm a trained psychologist, you know, there's this idea of shaping, right? And so what you do is you reward improvement. And so if they do a little more improvement, you know, how do they get those dolphins to jump through the flaming hoop, you know, jump in the air 18 feet through a flaming hoop? They do it bit by bit, right? Now, the second question was about, you know, we're tired of the remote learning model and how do we stay motivated in the remote learning? And you know what? I'm doing this. I've never taught online until last March, and now I'm 100% online. And part of this is about self-motivation, but how do you motivate others? And what I've tried to do personally is try to see, what am I learning from this? You know, what are my takeaways from this? And one of the things that I'm finding is, I'm looking at the benefits, right? Looking at the half full instead of half empty glass and saying, what kinds of innovations are going to come out of this? And I'm realizing that, that actually my discussions are better online. And so I'm thinking, how can I bring some of the online elements back into the classroom? Now you may not find that. You may not. You know, I'm in a small liberal arts college where discussion-based learning is promoted, and I'm going to learn some tips from this. But I think, you know, how do you motivate them? You know what? You're in the leadership position, and you got to figure it out. You've got to think outside the box, right? And involve your team members, involve your teachers in that process. Say, look, we got to get through this. how can we stay motivated? How can we continue to move forward? Right. Someone shared some thoughts here. Okay. So doing some talent shows, the coffee carts, the monthly meetings, you know, I've heard people talk about, what do they call it? Zoom happy hours. You know, that's just drinking alone. Right? You know, I think you have to think about it. You have to reframe it and you have to use the time wisely, right? Because people are zoomed out. So how can we do something in just a few minutes? How can we connect in just a few minutes and make some progress, right? And I think in the chat, we're getting some good ideas about some different podcasts. And I think your program, Gracie, you mentioned how many of these webinars you've done. So I'm sure that, you know, continuing with these webinars, there's a lot of resources online. One of the things I've done with my class is I've made one synchronous and one asynchronous. And I'm finding a wealth of, if I spend the time and I go through YouTube leadership videos, or I'm also doing a organizational psychology course, if I spend the time and go through those videos, I can find some real, real gems in there. And I'm assigning those kinds of things in lieu of having more Zoom time. So I'm having my students do things on their own. And they'll watch the videos, right? Because the videos are, and I keep them short and I try to make them interesting and I throw some fun ones in there. So I've had to think outside the box too. And so we're all challenged. I mean, there's no doubt that this is a challenge, but what I would argue is, you know, let's find the silver lining in this and let's move forward and develop ourselves and develop the people we're working with.
Do you have any advice, Dr. Riggio, for someone who is a younger principal and then their staff is older, has more experience, been there longer?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it, and there's a kind of another notion of another theory of leadership called authentic leadership. I think the issue is to be as authentic as you can, is to say, look, you know, this is a mutual experience. You have a lot of years of experience and I want to learn from that. And I want to engage you in that and I want to learn from you, but I also have things to offer. So I think in that idealized influence component, that looking like a positive role model, you've got to look like you're in charge regardless of the age you are, right? I mean, you know, you can't let those kinds of things limit you, right? You're in a leadership position and you've got to fulfill the role. And it's important to maintain that image of, you know, I know what I'm doing, right? And, but I think calling on those valuable resources of all of those years of experience and saying, I want to create a partnership. I want to learn from you. I want you to learn from me. And we want to together move forward. What are you going to do if some of your subordinates are not following you? You know, that's the challenge, right? How do you engage people? And that's why, you know, I told Bernie Bass one time, I said, you know, being a transformational leader is hard work, right? It really takes a lot of time. And I said, how does that affect you, like your work-life balance? And I said, you know, does it take away from your work-life balance if you're a truly transformational leader? You're spending all this time engaging with people. And he said, you know what? And I thought this was a great answer. He said, transformational leadership should translate to your home environment. You should be better able to engage your family members, right? Okay. So one of the things when I talk about individualized consideration, and I do this in the book, I spend a couple of weeks on interpersonal communication for developing relationships, right? So learning to develop a relationship, a leader-follower relationship, is like learning to develop any relationship, right? And if you're in a relationship, a love relationship with a significant other, you know how much work that takes. And so to have a stellar relationship, it's going to take an equal amount of work and you have to do that. But, you know, Bass's argument was, you know, if you get better at relationships at work, you're going to be better at relationships at home, or vice versa. And so I think that, you know, this builds, and that's what, you know, and I'm not just saying this. I mean, the research data shows that these leaders are tough leaders to work for a lot of times, because they're always pushing people. They're saying, you know, engage, you know, I want you to challenge. You can go beyond that goal. I know you can do it. But they're able to get people to do it.
So my question is, you know, with your beginning slides, you had a lot of famous people up there that we all recognize as leaders. But yeah, in your work, Dr. Riggio, if you could give advice for maybe the top three things, you know, a person could concentrate on, especially during this challenging time for principals with virtual learning and COVID and dealing with so many things, if they could just focus, what would be kind of your top recommendation?
Okay. So I would say be authentic and be straight with people, right? The one thing we know, and this is not leadership, this is organizational communication. If you try to hide things, people will find out. You got to be straight with people, right? If you have a hidden agenda, they're going to discover the hidden agenda, or they're going to create a hidden agenda. And so what you want to do is you want to be as authentic and straight with people as you can be. Do you have to be brutally honest in terms, you know, if somebody says, who's your worst performer? You don't have to answer that question, right? You can, you know, but as much as you can be straight with people. Okay. First, authenticity. Second, work on communication and that relationship, right? So they always say that you get that question, what's the one thing, you know, and leadership is so complex. There's not one thing, but when I have to answer that question, I say improve your communication skills. The better communicator you are, the more charismatic you're going to appear. Remember we said, you know, those were the charismatic figures. Now, charisma on a day-to-day basis, and we all know charismatic people, they're not famous people, right? We know people who you just like being around them. They make you feel good, you know, and that's the kind of charisma we want, that where you've interacted with them in a relationship and you feel enriched, you feel motivated, you feel energized from dealing with them. And that's about communication. And I guess the third thing is, you know, figure out ways to involve people, to share in the leadership, right? I think all too often leaders think it's all on my shoulders, right? And share that leadership, you know, get people to engage with you, you know, and be straight with them, that authenticity. You know, I don't always know the right answer, and we may have to work these answers out together. And I may choose a direction that you're not comfortable with, but I'm going to do it for these reasons. So I think if you're straight with people, it really helps a lot. I don't know. I hope that.
Yeah, that's really helpful. I think during these times, it has to be such a balance between when you're asking people to do things. I mean, some of those things need to be fun and uplifting, and you really have to work at those activities. I know we've got principals doing great things to keep their staffs motivated all over the United States. But because you can't just always ask them to collect that data and do those more mundane tasks. You know, we talk about balanced leadership. And so I think, especially during these times, we really have to be purposeful and focused about having some time just to kick back with our staff and have some fun, kind of more meaningful relationship building time.
Yeah, there's no doubt this is a challenging time, but I think if you try to learn from it, right, it's gonna make us stronger, you know, later on. I mean, there are valuable lessons that are being learned. I this was kind of a little personal thing, but I did, I have a Psychology Today blog, and a lot of my blog posts are about leadership, but I'm kind of a dilettante. I'm all over the place. So I'll do, you know, different ones, but I did, I think it was a dozen things that I benefited from the lockdown. And, you know, I think then you got to commit to it too. I mean, what I did was and my wife, she became a better baker. I became a better cook. So we're eating a lot better, but we're also eating a lot healthier. So we actually lost weight over the pandemic. I mean, I think what you need to do is you need to reframe things and try to make it work in a positive way. I was working on this book for about 5 years and being locked down and not having to do anything else. I completed the book during the lockdown.
Right.
As I channeled my energy into that. So I think there's a lot of things that, but I think, so hopefully, I mean, try this at some point when there's maybe as we're getting, you know, near the end of the school year or something, is challenge your teachers, your team to say, what are the positive lessons? What have we learned from this that we can take with us when we're back in the classroom face to face? Because that's what I'm doing. And I'm going to change my class in specific ways. Simply because I've learned a little bit more because of the challenges. So don't see a challenge as something that's going to defeat you, as a challenge that you're going to overcome, and a challenge that is going to lead to maybe a creative breakthrough.
Well, I know that we only have about 3 more minutes, so I did know if there were any last parting words that you would like to leave everybody with. We so appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us this evening. And, I think it's always good for principals to really think about leadership and what defines them as a leader, what they can work on.
Yeah. And I think that's the critical thing. I mean, the turning point in my life around leadership, I mean, I was studying leadership. Was when someone I became the director of our institute, and someone said to me, what's your leadership style, or what's your, and I thought, well, I don't know if I really think of myself as a leader. And it was like an aha experience. And I started reframing and saying, if I'm a leader and I'm in a leadership position, I have to work at it and I have to work to get better. And what am I going to do and how am I going to do it? And so I had to convert to transformational leadership. I happened to know Professor Bass, and he converted me to it. I was not a big fan of it. And then why I got converted is it was the model that helped me develop my own leadership. And it's not the only model. There are other ones out there. There are other frameworks. But what I'm, so I guess my parting thing is do something to improve your leadership. To improve how you lead, right?
Right. Well, thank you again for joining us, everybody, and Dr. Riggio. It was such a pleasure. I'm very envious of your background. And that is a real background, you all. That's where he is. So
that's my view. Some
nice weather there. But thank you again for being with us and being a part of our
webinar. Thank you so much.
Webinar.
Thank you all.